verses 1 through 10. It reads, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world."
Excuse me.
Yes.
Hold on, let me get this right.
Okay, all right. We interrupt this message.
I've got the handyman in the church, so I'm just going to put this over here.
What's happening? Is it okay to go?
I think it's safe, Alicia.
Okay. Let's try this again.
Sorry.
It's okay. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Alicia. All right, now, some of you certainly know our guest preacher this morning, but some of you do not. And some of you have no idea why he is our guest preacher. So I want to introduce our guest today. You've already heard Pastor Howie tell you that all the times he was thrown out of children's church and was forced to come up into the sanctuary with the adults and listen to the sermon. And he said that he probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the ministry of Pastor White. Well, he kind of stole my thunder, because over this week and next week, we're having two guest preachers, and these two men have been instrumental in my development as a Christian. And I would say, I would dare say, maybe with some certainty, that if I had not met Pastor White some 37, 38 years ago, I probably wouldn't be standing here. Pastor White was my first pastor. And it's kind of, maybe it's selfish that I have these two guys coming in that so influenced me in my life. But I want you to meet them. Because if we do anything good here in the coming years, Pastor White in part gets credit for that. It will go on his register, however God keeps track of that stuff. You know, Pastor White doesn't preach much anymore, so he told me he was thrilled to be asked to preach. And I'm thrilled to have him. So Pastor White, come. I love Herb White. Yeah, I love this man. Hold on, let me get just Herb White up here. Okay, Herb, you should be on.
Am I on? Excuse me. Thank you, Gene Hebert, and I feel the love that flows from you and from all of you this morning. It is a rare and distinct privilege of mine to be here and to speak to you today. My mind is full of so many thoughts and so much joy to see your faces. I look around and see my clan, and I want to thank them for coming. And it's when I first thought that some were going to come, I wondered, why are they coming? If they think I can't think anymore and speak anymore, are they suspicious of my aging process? And even if they are, it's okay. They need to come and check. I need someone to tell me one of these days that Herb, it's time to hang him up. But I hopefully not quite yet. And I have so many friends and families that have been in my world, and I'm delighted to have all of you here today. I could got on the line and talk about their achievements on their or their follies, either one. But we'll skip all of that, I guess, and proceed. I asked myself and the Lord, why am I coming here today to preach? And of course, the obvious reason is Gene Hebert asked me to come. But I want to remind him that you can't go back. You can't go home again once you're gone. And so you may be disappointed, Gene, because I'm maybe not quite the guy that I was 30, 40 years ago. But that's okay. I'm here because this place was significant for me and for my family, and who felt the call of God in their lives in this place. I'll get over my emotion perhaps in a minute or two here and can move on. So it's a very precious place to me, even though you have put up that good carpet that we had here for 100 years. And those pews as well. I'm here because it is a privilege that God gives me to sometimes preach the word. What a privilege. And I celebrate that today. I'm here because I want to declare that our God has a great, amazing love for us that includes an extravagant hospitality towards us. I want to let you hear again this morning that God loves you in a way that he invites you into his presence here and forever. Well, I am here because, of course, the grace of God in my own life that has rescued me and led me along the journey. And I am an old man, and yet I am a blessed and rich old man, rich in God's blessing is upon my life. And in ways that I can only begin to enumerate this morning. When I thank the Lord at night as I'm retiring, I say, thank you, Lord, for 10,000 blessings, of which I can only count a very few. And I do that again this morning. Thank you, Lord, for 10,000 blessings. I can only count a few hundred this morning of those blessings. So many beyond that. God is so good to me, and so life is so blessed because of him. The scripture lesson that was read a while ago included a portion of a verse that I want to lift out. This passage from Ephesians 2 is such a great passage that it's kind of intimidating to try to preach from it. We're going to lift out of it one section, and that is part of verse 6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. It seems like the Apostle Paul has gone to the scene in eternity and is looking at the work of God as complete in his redemptive work. The work of Christ has been completed and his church has been brought up with him to be with him forever, and they are washed, prepared by the Spirit, seated in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And he sees that in the very present tense for him because of his spiritual vision. So I offer that to you today, a picture of our God offering you and me a seat in his living room, so to speak, a gracious host that he is. We are lifted up with Christ and invited to sit together in the presence of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. What an amazing hospitality characterizes our God. So I want to trace that to some degree this morning in the Bible. It's a recurring image that he is essentially, eternally, unalterably yearning for your response to his invitation to be his guests. He wants to be your host. That is not for him a passing thing, but it's the very disposition. He is committed in every way to your living with him in this world and even in the next. God created us to be his guests, not his robots or not his serfs. He made a beautiful world for our entertainment. He filled it with abundance of food for us to enjoy and set the thermostat just right for us humans. Can only stand the limited variations in temperature. The universe is so threatening to us otherwise. And he has given us a very beautiful place to live. He's filled our home with artwork. Notice some of it just for a moment. Not static, attached to a wall, but constantly dynamic and moving. Every turn of the road you drive opens up a new scene created by God for you to enjoy. The very dynamic of turning your steering wheel somehow appealed to God that he would make scenes for you in your mind and heart capable to see constantly varying scenes of beauty around you. God made us a beautiful home. And of course, we all know the wonder of a sunset. Somebody seeing it every day, morning and evening and sunrise. What a beautiful world he has given us. And of course, the fresh bouquets of flowers, great for our eyes and for some noses. He installed a cathedral ceiling with ever-changing lighting arrangements. Millions of little lights at night that can be identified but appear to be moving slowly. The intensity of the light we've seen the last couple of nights, the beautiful full moon. God's arranging our cathedral ceiling with beautiful lighting, making our home a beautiful place. He provided a super sound system for us in this home. It varies in volume, quite loud in the thunderstorm, commanding our attention. Other times, the background sounds like the ocean, the river, the waterfall are just right for meditation. And there is a solemn sound of a winter wind. I know you're not the maintenance man here, but can you make it strong?
No.
You can't. Okay, I just have to lean off it. Okay. All right, I was celebrating the sound system that God has given us and our ears and all the sounds we can enjoy. Take a moment to remember them. How the solemn sound of a winter wind, the charming sounds of the chirp of a bird, or the voice of a child. Two little girls live across and over my fence, and take great pleasure. Can't understand what they're chirping, but I can hear the voices, and I find it to be a delightful sound. God has put sounds, and the voice of a loved one, how beautiful is that as well. Thank God, however, for quietness sometimes. God put our first parents into this beautiful home. What a paradise. And they met with him there regularly. He was their gracious host there. They lived in that special relationship for quite a while. I like to think for a long time. But they tragically rebelled against his authority and violated his hospitality by taking what was not theirs and thus invited the enemy, Satan, to share their home. With Satan came sin and the fall of mankind, and God put a curse even on his own creation because of that sin and their rebellion. And Adam and Eve were put out of that special guest house, guest garden. They violated the love and trust and generosity of their host. The relationship of a host and guest was not to be the same for a long time again. The earth, although still their home, was less hospitable, for sin had entered and altered their relationships with one another and with him. However, God, being so relentless in his hospitality, found another way. He revealed his hospitality again and again. We see in the life of Jesus this same quality in our God. For he had no place of his own to lay his head, and yet we find that he overcame that handicap and entered into the lives and homes of others with enthusiasm. The Jewish leadership spoke evil of him, saying he was a glutton and a wine bibber because he ate with commoners, with sinners. He enjoyed at least one wedding, doubtless more than one, accepted invitations from many, even Simon the hated tax collector. He invited them to Zacchaeus' house for dinner, and Zacchaeus was delighted, and by the totally unexpected show of friendship, he opened his house and heart to Jesus, and life was changed by love, by presence, by dinner with Jesus. Remember Jesus feeding the thousands? The end of the day, a long day of teaching and receiving, they were tired and hungry, and he said to his disciples, just to test them, I think, feed this group. And they had no way, of course. They brought him a boy's lunch, and he expanded it and fed. He was the host for thousands of hungry people those afternoons. What a beautiful scene, what a beautiful evidence of God's great character. Feeding those thousands, some of them were there for shallow reasons, we read, just to get a meal, but he fed them anyway. What a character our God has of love for us. Well, Jesus not only practiced hospitality, but he taught it as well. Remember the story of the great banquet when the rich Lord had a great feast arranged and invited people from everywhere to come to that great feast, and not enough showed up. And so he said to his servants, go and bring them in, fill my house so that my house may be full. He wanted a full house for his banquet. Jesus talking about it, and the servants went out and tried again and brought in another small crowd. And the third or fourth time, Jesus said, go out and bring them in from everywhere. The street corners, the back roads, the poor places, and that my house may be full. Why did Jesus tell us this? Impressing upon us the fact that you and I are invited into the very house of God for a feast. We are to be seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That is the character of our God. He is not casual about it. It's not a simply an off-the-cuff thing. It's a profound drive in the heart of our God for you and me to be guests at his table. And I confess, I stand in awe in place of that truth this morning, that God sees Herb White, ordinary human flesh, faults and failures, rebellious and sinful and all of that. And yet he loved me and called me and still is calling me. And I hear his voice in my own speaking this morning. Come to my party. Come to my feast. Come to my home. Be seated with me in the heavenly realms. What kind of a love is this that he wants us? And so I say again this morning in your hearing and in his, Lord, I hear your invitation. Lord, I hear your call. Lord, I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to come. I will come by your grace. I will be at your great marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God for his great love for us. Jesus taught it. You recall the last night he was with them. He saw their sorrow and their empty hearts and said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you to my place, that where I am, there you may be also. And you and I are in that you that he used. Wants us to be there with him at that great time. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Praise his name. On one occasion, went to a great event. My son in the insurance business and grandson, and they're here this morning. And I'm not giving them a plug, but just using that moment with them to celebrate. And I was invited to a great party out at the in Princess Hotel in Arizona. And it was a grand facility and great men enjoying each other and enjoying the event. And the food was plentiful, and I did my duty there. And the golf course was fun. Enjoyed that. I was a spectator. And, of course, at the end of the day, with all of the great goings-on, I was kind of musing. I was alone in the room, looking out the window, and I could see a great part of the facility we're in. And I can remember the sight. The walkways were lighted over a bed of water. So the whole area appeared to be afloat, but lighted walkways. And for me, a country bumpkin, this was quite a great event. And I looked at it all and thought about it and saw all the fun and joy of it all. And I went back to my room, looked out the window, and was kind of musing and thinking. And in my heart, I was kind of saying, well, Lord, maybe I need to change my direction and go sell insurance for a while. And the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart, if you think this is great, wait for the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we will have the greatest sight, the greatest location, the greatest place for a party, the heavenly realms. And we will have the greatest mission to celebrate. Insurance is good, but the mission that we will celebrate then will be to reveal the character of our God, revealed in his love for us through Christ Jesus. What a great mission. That's the mission we'll celebrate. And we'll have, of course, the greatest location. John saw the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The bride is, in our language, a idiom for perfection, beauty. Everything good is in a bride. And that's the picture that God gave John, a bride, magnificence in every way, God preparing, bringing it down to our level. That's the site we're going to go to, perfect and beautiful place beyond our imaginations. And we will have, I think, the greatest entertainment, may I use the word in a very profound sense. And I was thinking about that entertainment in heaven and what it is. I was here this morning worshiping with all of you, with the team. Thank you. And we sometimes say in seventh heaven about those moments of ecstasy and delight. And I would submit to you that that is the very most delightful moments in our worlds. In my world, are not when I have a great golf shot. Those are good. Rare, the greatest moments, the greatest, most truly satisfying and joyous events is when I get raptured, not taken up, but filled up with the joy and love of God in a moment of worship. This is, I submit to you, far better than any entertainment the world has ever dreamed of. Adoration of our Christ and of our God. What a magnificent entertainment for that time. And we will raise our voices with ecstasy and joy, declaring, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and blessing and honor and power." The greatest mission celebrating our God, the greatest entertainment worshiping our God, and so many other subtitles we could look at this morning, but thank God for that beautiful event. So I need to ask you once more this morning, are you coming to the party? Can you say deeply in your hearts, have you answered his call when he says, "Come to my party"? Have you answered him honestly and profoundly, "Yes, Lord, I am coming. I am going to come to your party"? So how does one come to the party? First of all, and very simply, you have to receive the invitation. Receive it. That means that God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you by his word and by his church and calling you to come, and you can hear the message in your heart and you can answer that message, "Yes, Lord, I hear you calling." The last chapter of the book of the Bible, we hear the words, the Spirit says, "Come." That's God, the Holy Spirit, is calling you today, saying, "Come." Who is calling me? God, the Holy Spirit. The great triune Godhead is calling me. And he has committed the church to say, "Come," as well. And so I am among those in the church, and I am among those who have heard, and I hear. And so because I hear, I say, "Come." And so in the sound of my own voice today, I hear the voice of God calling Herb, "Come, come. Don't let anything interrupt your coming to my great festival event. Come to my party." So I answer him again this morning, "Yes, Lord, I will come by your grace, not because I am worthy or because I am disciplined, or because I am wise, but because I am a recipient of your saving grace, because I have bowed before you and said, 'I am a sinner, I need your forgiveness, come into my life.' When I do that, I am answering the call of God, and I am entering into fellowship with him and moving in the direction of that great party." Well, we could go on and I could talk about getting dressed for the party. What does the word say? Paul says, "Put on, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ." Your own righteousness is not good enough. It's dirty rags, the scripture says. Where do you get the right garment? You get it from Jesus, because he paid the penalty. He bought your forgiveness. He bought your righteousness. And so when you look to him in faith, in that moment of contrition and obedience and openness, you find the forgiveness of Christ. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so you are getting dressed for the party. Praise his name. And so I want to say again this morning, I am going. Are you going to the party this morning? I am going. Would you raise your hand if you decided to go? Are you going to the party? Praise the Lord. I'm going to the party. Amen. What a wonderful truth it is. We'll all be there together across denominational and family lines of all kinds. We'll be together. Well, perhaps I have covered all that I should try to do this morning, but I really came because I wanted to declare the great character of our God. What is he like? We have looked at one facet of his great personality, his great character, that is, his great love that invites us all to come. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. How about standing and raising your hands and singing it with me? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege of looking into your word together this morning. What a precious privilege it is for us. Thank you for your spirits accompanying the word in our hearts and lives. Thank you that you still own us and love us, and we recognize you are still working for us, and we shall celebrate with you. We praise you for each person in your presence this morning. May that simple commitment to be there characterize us all, and may we trust your grace to lead us all the way into the eternal city. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.